My name is Gary Weber, and I'm the pastor here at Southside Baptist Church, and it's great to be with you this morning as we gather in this place to worship together and study God's Word. If you have a Bible, I invite you to open up to John chapter 9. John chapter 9, we'll be looking at this passage. If you've been traveling with us the last several months, you know we've been making our way through the entire Gospel of John, and reaching John chapter 9 is actually one of my very favorite chapters in the Gospel of John. It has a great story, a really ironic story. And in this story, you're going to see the story of some people who have the ability to see but are blind, and of one person who is physically blind and is the only person in the entire story who actually sees what's going on. So it's a great story, a great reminder, and it is often reflective of our condition as spiritual seekers. Maybe today you're here and you would define yourself as someone who's seeking spiritually. We're all seeking spiritually. Maybe you're here and you're trying to figure out what Christianity is all about, whether you can believe what the Bible says. Maybe you're here today and you claim to know what the Bible says, believe what the Bible says, but maybe there's some way in your life in which you're having trouble applying what it says. And our prayer this morning is that the eyes of your hearts would be open. Just as we gathered in this place and we made our way in and our eyes helped us find our way around and navigate through the day to get here, we're praying that our spiritual eyes can be opened. One of the things that maybe you're wrestling with is unanswered questions. Maybe you're looking for answers to questions. This is part of the spiritual journey where we try to understand things that sometimes, quite honestly, are really difficult to understand, and in fact, things that people have tried to explain for thousands of years, and sometimes vocabulary and words really fall short of explaining what it is that our eyes can't always see. And maybe you've fallen into believing that if I could only know all the facts and have answers to all the questions, then I would be able to believe in Jesus Christ. Then I would be able to understand and know and be able to place my faith in Jesus Christ. But the Gospel of John, really, chapter by chapter, takes this idea of unanswered questions and a pursuit of knowledge and kind of turns it on its head. And John, from the very beginning of the Gospel all the way to the end, is communicating this idea that faith is not built on answers to questions, but through an encounter with Jesus Christ. And so John is telling these stories of how people encounter Jesus and how even in spite of the fact that they had unanswered questions, they had serious questions about faith and about what the meaning of life is and about who God is and what God is like, despite the fact they had all these questions that may or may not have been answered, it was their encounter with Jesus that opened their eyes and allowed them to see what was going on. Back in John chapter 1, we met a man named Nathanael. Nathanael had some serious questions about Jesus' legitimacy as the Messiah because Jesus was not born in the right place. And Nathanael, not only did he come to put his faith in Jesus, but he began to follow after Jesus as one of his disciples. Not because Nathanael's questions were all answered, but because Nathan met Jesus, had an encounter with him. The disciples, all the disciples who had left their jobs, left their families behind, and been following after Jesus. It was only when they saw a miracle at a wedding where Jesus turned water into wine that the scripture says they believed him. It wasn't just the fact that they had heard him speak and heard him teach. They saw something. They had an encounter with Jesus that radically changed what they believed about him. Remember the story of Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Nicodemus was a Pharisee, was a religious leader, and he came and he found Jesus in the middle of the night. And that's kind of an image that John uses, the idea of light and darkness. And Nicodemus wanted to find Jesus at night when nobody else would see him coming to Jesus. And Nicodemus had this encounter with Jesus, and ultimately, we know by the end of the Gospel of John, began to believe Jesus because of these encounters that he had with Jesus throughout the gospel story. Then we read the story of a woman at the well, And this woman encountered Jesus at this well. She was by herself. She was kind of a woman who had a reputation. Nobody else would go out to the well with her. And she had all these questions about theology and which group of people were right. This is what my people think about worship. This is what your people think about worship. And Jesus kind of cut through all of that as he encountered her. And she came to believe in Jesus based on this encounter that she had with him. It's like John wants you to see this idea that not only was Jesus the light of the world, but Jesus was the light in the hearts and minds of people as he encountered them. You've seen the cartoon, maybe you've noticed it, where there's a cartoon character and all of a sudden a light bulb goes off above their head. You know, that's kind of this what's happening throughout John's gospel. The light is going off in people's head and in their hearts as they have an encounter with Jesus, as they come to see what was always true. You see, that's the idea, that Jesus illuminates what has always been true. That's what the Bible calls revelation. When you have a moment where something is revealed to you, and something that used to not make sense suddenly makes perfect sense. Something that you didn't believe before suddenly becomes something that you build your entire life on. Being able to see what has been true all along. This is the purpose behind John's gospel. And John, who is a really creative guy, John's wanting to tell the story of Jesus a little different than Matthew, Mark, and Luke told the story. John is not trying to tell you all the miracles Jesus performed. John picked 7 miracles out. And today we're going to look at one of those 7 miracles. But I want to remind you in a little diagram that we've been using. Jesus said that his mission, we're going to look at this in a couple weeks, his mission was to come and give life. Give people life and give them abundant life. And John tells us at the end of his gospel that he has recorded these miracles so that we may believe in Jesus Christ. He wants us to see the way Jesus interacted. And so we see back in John chapter 2, Jesus turned the water into wine, and then he healed the royal official's son in chapter 4. He healed the man at the pool of Bethesda in chapter 5, and then he fed 5,000 people in chapter 6. He walked on water in that same encounter. And today we're going to look at the 6th miracle that Jesus performed that John recorded in his gospel. And that's Jesus healing the blind man. Now, this man who we're going to read about was born blind. And John wants you to see this not just as an analogy or a theory, but he wants his readers to understand that Jesus really is the light of the world. Jesus really is who reveals God the Father. It's an encounter with Jesus that allows us to come to know who God is. So John chapter 9, if you have a Bible, John chapter 9, I'll begin in verse 1. As he, Jesus, went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed through him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one will work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Now, Jesus' disciples, we talked about this last week, there was a misconception that they believed, and that was every suffering, every pain that a person endured could be directly correlated back to some sin that they had committed. So Jesus' disciples are asking, "Hey, Jesus, who sinned, this guy or his parents, that this guy would be born blind?" Now, they get this actually from Scripture. If you go back and you read Deuteronomy chapter 28, when God was giving the law through Moses, there was a consequence if they sinned. And here's what it said: "The Lord will afflict you with madness, blindness, and confusion of mind." So the disciples may have actually had this verse in their mind when they're asking Jesus this question. But they weren't thinking about another passage where the prophet Isaiah said this about blindness in Isaiah 35, verse 5 and 6. "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy." This was evidence when the Messiah showed up that people were going to get better. Blind people were going to see. Deaf people were going to hear. Lame people were going to get up and walk. And so John wants you to see in the story of his gospel, this is happening. There's a lame person who's now walking. There is a sick child who has now been made well. There is a blind man who is now going to see. Jesus wants you to understand this man was born blind not because of his specific sin or his parents' specific sin, but because sin is a reality in our world, and I have come to reverse the curse. I have come to make things right. This wasn't the way it was supposed to be. Babies weren't supposed to be born blind, or children weren't supposed to get diagnosed with life-altering diseases. People were not supposed to lose loved ones. I have come to turn things around. I am the light of the world. I have come to shine the light into the darkness. This is the hope. Verse 6, after saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. I remember a story one time of a little boy who was going through that stage a lot of little boys go through where it's really cool to spit, you know. And so he'd see his dad do it. And so he'd go outside and he'd spit. And this just absolutely mortified his mother, you know. So she would always say, you know, don't spit. Don't spit. So one day he came out of Sunday school and he said, Mom, we're supposed to be like Jesus, right? Mom said, yeah, you're supposed to be like Jesus. Well, Jesus spit. And the mom said, well, when your spit can heal a blind man, you can spit too. This was some sacred saliva going on here. Now, it's important to understand that Jesus doesn't have formulas for the miracles he performs. There are miracles that you can read throughout the Gospels, John's and the other Gospels, and no two are alike. Jesus doesn't do the same thing the same way to get the same results. Sometimes in your life, you put God in a box where you think, if God is going to work in my life, he is going to do it like this because this is how he did it in my friend's life. This is what I heard about. And you need to understand the miracles of the Bible are never the same. God never does the same thing the same way twice. He only spoke through a burning bush that we know of one time. He healed a blind man with spit and mud one time. God is not confined to a particular method, but this is how Jesus chooses to work this particular time. So he made the mud, he rubbed it on the man's eyes, and here's what he said. Go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam. This means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. Now, just think about this for just a moment with me. You are completely blind. You can see nothing. And you're encountering this man. You hear this conversation going on. You hear the disciples say, who sinned, this man or his parents? Now, this was probably a conversation this poor man had been subject to and had heard from the time he was a little tiny boy all growing up. Oh, here they go again. They're trying to figure out whose fault it is that I'm born blind. But all the talking about whose fault it was did not heal this man. So he's hearing this conversation, and he hears the person, the teacher, say, neither this man sinned nor his parents, but this was so that the glory of God could be revealed. And I imagine the blind man's thinking, well, that's a different one. I mean, I've heard lots of things about why I'm blind, but I've never heard that. And then all of a sudden he hears, now, I've known some folks who are visually impaired, and they're pretty good at determining based on what they hear what's going on. So he's thinking, I wonder what's happening. There's a little bit of noise from the ground where Jesus is mixing up the saliva and the dirt. And then all of a sudden he feels something wet on his eyes. Now just think about this. He doesn't know who this is. And then this person who has just spit on his face says, go to this pool and wash. Now, John does not tell us what this blind man was thinking. He doesn't tell us if he believed in Jesus. He doesn't tell us anything about this man's faith at all. But he does tell us that he heard the words of Jesus and he went and he obeyed. He obeyed without any knowledge of who this was and what he was doing and how it would work. He just got up and he went and he obeyed. Verse 8, his neighbors, and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? Some claimed that he was. Others said, no, he only looks like him. But he himself said, I am the man. How then were your eyes open? They asked. He replied, the man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He left out the spit part. Did you catch that? Made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed. And then I could see. Where is this man? They asked him. I don't know, he said. Now, it's interesting. It's interesting. And it's important for me to note, and maybe it would be important for you to hear this too, that just because people have experienced a touch from Jesus, even if that touch has resulted in their healing, it doesn't mean that they know who he is. That somebody can have an encounter with Jesus and be forever transformed and be forever changed and not be able to tell you a thing about him. All this man knows is that he had an encounter with Jesus, and through that encounter, something happened. Something was changed. Now, what I find interesting is that none of his friends seem to be happy for him. All of these people are standing around. They're even questioning if this was even the same man. Some deny, this can't be that guy, because he was blind. There's no way this is the same man. He just looks like him. They were so blinded by their preconceived notions and ideas that they were not even believing what their eyes were telling them. Their eyes were telling them, this man was blind and now he can see, but I don't believe what my eyes are seeing, so this must be a hoax. This must be something made up. This can't be the same man. The blind man never saw Jesus, but the effects of his encounter with Jesus transformed him to the point that even the people who were around him, even his community, were affected by the reality of who Jesus is and what it was that Jesus had done. There was no denying, no matter how they tried to twist and change the story, that this was a blind man who could now see. So they were in a, they had a problem. So what did they do? They went to find the religious leaders to try to get some answers. Verse 13, they brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He put mud on my eyes, the man replied, and I washed, and now I see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. Okay, so the Pharisees are stuck on their old commitment to these old religious laws and the legalism that they had been immersed in for their entire ministry. So they ignore the fact that here is a blind man who can now see. According to Isaiah's prophecy in verse 35, the blind will receive sight. And rather than saying, wow, this must be the Messiah. Remember what happened. Remember what Isaiah said, is that the blind people would see. That would be an indication to us that the Messiah had arrived. They don't see that. All they see is that this can't be the guy, because surely the Messiah would not heal the man on the Sabbath. Now, a lot of people think that the reason why they believe that Jesus was working, the way they accused Jesus of working on the Sabbath, is that it was not lawful on the Sabbath. It was not lawful to make anything. And Jesus had made mud. Therefore, you can't be the Messiah. So the Pharisees were blinded. They couldn't see what was going on. But other people said, how can a sinner perform such signs? So they were divided. Then they turned again to the blind man. What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened. In other words, they're passing the buck. They're being asked the theological religious question. They're the theological experts. And they don't know how to answer the question, so what do? They turn back to the guy who was blind, and they say, what do you say about this? After all, you were the one blind. You were the one who now can see. So they're asking him, and then the man replied, he's a prophet. It seems like a good answer. I mean, surely he must be a prophet. This young man born blind had surely heard the stories growing up of Elijah and Elisha and all the prophets and the miracles that they'd done. So it seemed like common sense to this man that he would be a prophet. Then they still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. Is this your son? They asked. Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see? So they're challenging the parents on a couple things. Number one, is this actually your son who was born blind, or is this an imposter? And number two, they're asking them, how do you explain this? How can you explain what is going on? We know he is our son, the parents answered, and we know that he was born blind. But how he came to see, how he can see now, or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself. Now, think about this for just a second. If you are a parent of a child who was born blind, and suddenly your child who has lived their entire lives into adulthood, into early adulthood, can suddenly see, what would your response be? I mean, I'd be shouting from the rooftops. I'd be so excited that my son who was blind can now see. I'd want to tell everybody. I'd want to find the man who did this for my son. I'd want to shake his hand. I'd want to thank him. I'd want to fall at his feet and worship him. But not these parents. Now put yourself back in the blind man's shoes. How would you feel if you had been born blind? You'd lived your entire life that way. Suddenly and unexplainably, you can see. You don't know how it happened. You just know you can see. None of your friends believe you. They're all looking for ways to explain it away. Your parents are brought in, and even your parents say, he's of age. Ask him yourself. He can answer for himself. Find out what he has to say. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders, who had already decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. That is why his parents said, he is of age. Ask him and see. Then we suddenly know the rest of the story. The Pharisees weren't going to see what was happening because they had already decided they didn't want to see what was happening. They were closing their eyes to the reality of who Jesus was. They didn't want to have anything to do with this. And so they had threatened all the people in the community. Hey, if any of you claim that Jesus is the Messiah, just know that you are going to be kicked out of the synagogue. You will not be allowed to be a part of the community. This would be like being exiled. Nobody would do business with you. Nobody would sell you anything. Nobody would buy anything from you. You would be treated like an outsider. You would be treated, you'd be treated worse than an outsider in most cases. And the Pharisees had said, if any of you claim this is the Messiah, this is the fate that will await you. So a second time, they summoned the man who had been blind. Give glory to God by telling the truth. How ironic is that? Because it is the fact that this man is willing to tell the truth that actually brings glory to God. He does exactly what the Pharisees tell him to do, to glorify God by telling the truth. The problem is that the Pharisees didn't want to believe the truth. They were choosing to believe a lie. So bring glory to God by telling the truth. They said, we know this man is a sinner. And then this next verse to me is one of the most powerful verses in the entire chapter. Maybe one of the most powerful verses in the entire gospel. He replied, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. I was an alcoholic, but I've been set free. I was abandoned and neglected, but I have been adopted as a son and a daughter of God. I was sick, but I have been made well. I was a liar and a reprobate, and I have been cleansed and made righteous in the eyes of God. This is how I was, and this is how I am, and I don't know what you think about Jesus, but he is the thing that made the difference in my life. I can't answer your theological questions. I can't give you all the history and all the background. I just know that I was blind, and now I see. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, Paul says, you were once dead in your transgressions, but you have been made alive in Jesus Christ. It is important for you, Christian, who are here today, to remember who you were. Because you may not be able to answer all their theological questions. But in fact, if you have a story like this blind man's, you were once this, and now because of Jesus, you are this. Your life is a story of the power of the gospel. Jesus brought sight back to this man. That is the truth that revealed everything else this man needed to know about Jesus. See, faith is not built on answers to questions. It's built on an encounter with Jesus Christ. And sometimes we're confronted with questions, theological questions, questions of faith that go beyond our capacity to answer. And in those times, we are challenged not to focus on what we know, but on who we know. Don't focus on what you don't know. Focus on who you do know. Because it is Jesus who makes the difference. And sometimes that's the only information we need. Then they asked him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered, "I have told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" Now, this guy's getting kind of brave here. I mean, whether he's asking this question with sincerity or whether he is poking at the Pharisees, I don't know, but that is an awfully brave question. Do you want to be his disciples too? Then they hurled insults at him and said, "You are this fellow's disciples. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses. But as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from." They're still hung up on this idea that Jesus is illegitimate. He was born in the wrong city. He was born to the wrong kind of parents. He came from the wrong kind of family. This cannot be the Messiah. We know what Isaiah said, that the blind would see. But this surely can't be the Messiah, because we don't want to see it. The man answered, "Now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. It had never been done before. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." And to this they replied, "You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?" And they threw him out, meaning they kicked him out of the synagogue, that he has now been rejected. So this man went from being blind to being healed and given sight to being persecuted for seeing. For being persecuted for seeing what all the people who had their physical eyesight couldn't see. Now this man couldn't even beg. Before, at least, he had an income because he could sit on the side of the road and he could beg and earn some money that way. In some regards, people might say, hey, he was probably better off blind. At least when he was blind, he could sit there and people took pity on him. They gave him money. He was still part of the community. He was still part of the synagogue. Now he's been kicked out. Now he has no source of income. Listen, there are people who profit from your dysfunction. There are people who don't want you to get better. And if that means they have to deny the miracle of Jesus in your life, they will deny the miracle of Jesus because it is in their best interest for you to stay blind and a beggar on the side of the road. This man was not content to do that. The reality of what Jesus did for this man was so much greater than the temporary challenges he was going to face as a result of his encounter with Jesus. So verse 35, Jesus heard that they had thrown him out. I love that. Jesus' compassion on this man didn't end with his blindness. Jesus heard the story. Hey, Jesus, remember that guy that you healed? Yeah, I remember. Well, they've tossed him out of the synagogue. Jesus heard about it. And he went and he found him. And he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" The Son of Man was a title for the Messiah. Do you believe this? The man had already confessed that he believed that Jesus was a prophet. Remember, the Pharisees had asked. They said, "What do you think of him?" Well, he must be a prophet. He didn't know anything else. He must be a prophet. And now Jesus is inviting him to take it a step further. Understand who he really is. Jesus confronted him and said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And the man replied, "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me so that I may believe in him." And Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." Now think about that. Do you remember the way Jesus healed this man? The man went away and washed and then could see. So when Jesus was standing in front of him, the man never saw Jesus. So here he is standing right in front of Jesus right now. The man who had healed him. And he said, the man standing in front of you is he. I am the man. Then the man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Jesus said, for judgment I have come into the world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind. Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, what? Are we blind too? Jesus said, if you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains. In other words, it would have been better for you, Pharisees, had you been blind. It's better for this man that he can see, because not only were his eyes open physically, but the eyes of his heart were open that he could see the truth because he had an encounter with Jesus. I want to just quickly talk about who was actually blind in this story. There are several people, four groups in particular. I think each one points us to a blindness that we may suffer with in our own spiritual journey. The first one, the disciples were blinded by this man's condition. The disciples were blinded by his condition. They just could see a blind man. They didn't see the potential of the glory of God in this difficult circumstance, in this difficult situation. I wonder how many times we walk through life and we're blinded by the condition of other people. You know, God doesn't assign our value based on our condition. Aren't you glad that when we were still sinners, Christ died for us? When we were at our lowest, God paid the highest price for you. Your value is not determined by your condition. And it's important that we walk through life understanding and knowing that you may see a person who is down and out and on the side of the road. That has nothing to do with the value God has placed on that person. Do not be blinded by the condition of people in your life. See them the way Jesus sees them. His neighbors were also blind. His neighbors were blinded by an opportunity. You see, his friends and neighbors who'd walked with him for all these many years could see the fact that if they could just get in good with the religious leaders, if they could keep the religious leaders happy with them, then that might open up better opportunities for them in the future. And so the religious leaders refused to recognize what was actually going on in this situation. And so they were blinded by opportunities. How many times in your life have you been blinded to what God wanted to do in your life because of an opportunity that was before you? And maybe you just looked around and you said, you know what, this job is too good. I know what God's calling me to do, but I can't pass up on this opportunity. Do not be blinded by the opportunities around you. Every open door was not opened by God, and every shut door was not shut by God. Jesus said, knock and the door will be open to you. You need to understand opportunities may be blinding you to the truth that Jesus wants to reveal to you. That's what happened to this man's neighbors. The Pharisees were blinded by their tradition. Jesus didn't fit in with their mold, with their expectations, with their traditions. And so rather than saying, you know what, I'm going to adjust my traditions in order to believe what is true, they were constantly redefining truth based on their traditions. This is so dangerous, especially for those of us who go to church and who are regularly a part of religious activities. Do not be blinded by your traditions, but understand and know the truth of God's word is always, always, always the foundation upon which we build our faith, not our tradition. And finally, his parents were blinded by fear. How often are we blinded by fear? We're so afraid of what someone will think. We're so afraid of what will happen to us if we stand up and we proclaim what it is that God has done for us, the miracles that God has brought into our lives. We're so afraid that we remain silent and fail to do what the Pharisees challenged this man to do, tell the truth and give glory to God fearlessly. And that's exactly what the blind man did. And of course, the people who are not blind in this story are Jesus. Jesus sees the value in the blind man when no one else does. He returns to the blind man when others would have left him neglected as an outcast from society. And the blind man experiences the miracle. And through that miracle, he sees Jesus in a way that others do not. He has the faith to act, even when he didn't have the knowledge to understand and know. What about you? The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. That's the definition of faith. That faith goes beyond what your eyes can see. 2 Corinthians 5, 7 says, we live by faith, not by sight. You see, faith is not built on answers to questions, but on an encounter with Jesus Christ. So my question for you as we close today is, what do you see? Is Jesus coming into focus in your life? Are you being confronted with the reality of who he is, not just based upon what you read, although that's critically important, but based on the transformation that he wants to bring into your life? Is Jesus bringing your current circumstances into view? Maybe as you follow Jesus, you're beginning to look at your life and see things in your life that he's challenging you and saying, you need to change that. He's turning the light on. Are you following him? Are you living in the truth as he is the truth? Do you believe that God sees you in your current condition? That even though all others would abandon you, neglect you, forget about you, reject you, deny the miracle that God is doing in your life, do you believe that in the midst of all of that, that it is Jesus who sees you better than you see yourself, better than you see your circumstances, better than you see your challenges? Our invitation this morning is a simple one. It's a familiar hymn. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. It's an old hymn with words that absolutely capture the story of this blind man. But maybe more than just the story of the blind man, maybe it captures your story. It captures my story. See, faith isn't knowing the answers to all the questions. Faith is having an encounter with Jesus. Father, we thank you today. We thank you that Jesus illuminates the darkness. And that, Father, in spite of the fact that we're so often blinded by our circumstances, blinded by our conditions, blinded by traditions, and blinded by fear, that the light of Jesus penetrates the darkness. Lord, for us who gather here today, may we see you. May the eyes of our hearts be opened, and may we take that step of faith, regardless of what the response may be, regardless of what the consequences may be. May our faith be so strong in you, Jesus, that like the blind man, we can say, all I know is I once was, but now I am. We thank you for this promise and this hope that we have in Jesus, who is the light of the world. It's in his name we pray. Amen.